Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back, and let's chat about what is happening in the stars above. Let's talk about human design and the gene keys, perhaps, and certainly the Pleiadian Earth energy. I hope everybody is doing well today. I'm sorry I'm confusing you as I'm back on Facebook today. Only because I have an issue going on with YouTube because I'm getting prepared for the new show on Monday. It's actually not the new show, but to my radio's broadcast or show broadcast on Oneness Talk Radio. So everything's sort of in flux around my broadcasting methods at the moment. But today, hopefully, we get past that. And I'll be able to figure out what I'm really doing. So let's say good morning to Kamal and Mimi and Monique and Jacqueline Lopez. So far, I see you guys. Great to see you. Great to have you with me. Today, we're going to be talking about what I titled Toward a New Normal, as what we're looking at now and probably are going to be working with yet for a while is an idea of what it means to be newly stabilized in a new reality, accepting that new reality, accepting the changes that it brings. And I found myself this morning sort of in a quandary because tomorrow my daughters want to do something for me for my birthday. So we're all heading out tomorrow to do something. And they said, "What do you want to do, Mom?" And I was like, "I don't even know what we can do anymore in a new normal. What I'd really love to do is just to go out and be able to shop and eat wherever I want to without a mask on and to be able to, you know, just do the norm, what were our normal things." And I found myself this morning just like gritting my teeth about having to go out in the world with a mask, which I can't stand. And I know that I can manage my own energy with that. But I know a lot of other people are emotionally just overwrought by some of these things, these changes. And I think one of the things that we can do for one another and for ourselves is to just be in acceptance that even though we may not have to be this way forever, that this is a normal for the moment. And what is normal anyways, right? Because change is the normal. Right? Change is our real normal. And so things will change again, as they always do. So what we do is we just move with the flow. Toward a new normal means we will stabilize somewhere in some new way. But for the moment, our new normal is in flux. Yay. Okay. Well, I think that was brought up this morning for me by the moon. Hallelujah. The moon that triggers moods and emotions and reactions in all of us as she made her transition out of the sign of Aries and into Taurus. And that was at about 5:35 for those of you on the East Coast this morning, 2:35 for those of us on the West Coast. I was dead asleep. I didn't feel the change, but I woke up and I went, "Oh, there's something different in the air today." So we have a couple of themes that we can work with during this period of time with the next couple of days anyway. Let's see, she's in Taurus until the afternoon of Thursday the 18th when she transitions into Gemini. And I'm like, well, how is that going to happen? Because that, yep, but it is true. Gemini, because of the solstice coming up is, you know, kind of a shorter period of time this week. But right now we have 3 days or two more days, full days of Taurus energy. And this is about slow and steady wins the race, right? The tortoise and the hare. And it was the tortoise who his pathway was slow and steady while the rabbit was, you know, being a rabbit. And he eventually wins the race. So all of us can take that in right now and just know that even though, you know, things may not be going in a direction that we want to go in very quickly, if we just stay the course, we will get where we want to go. Now today, the moon in Taurus is also squaring Saturn. So that brings up more of that depressive feeling or that melancholic feeling. And then later today, we'll conjunct Uranus on the transit through the sign. So we have sort of a schism between the day to day. We have one half of the day, or what, at least this early part of the day, where the square to Saturn holds sway, and later in the day where we have the conjunction to Uranus, where surprises happen, or where the unexpected happens. So with Saturn in a square to the moon, we are reminded of the things that we must do, right? The to-do list, the duties that we have, the responsibilities that we have, the obligations that we have, and we're sort of pressed into taking care of business without procrastination. So if you have been procrastinating doing something, you may feel a bit pressured today that, it's down to the wire and now I have to do it. Kind of how I was feeling this morning, because I still have one thing left to do for my radio show, which is an extra, like when the show is over and the music and words come on. I did the intro yesterday, but those kinds of things are, you know, technically challenging sometimes. But I managed to do that part, so I'm sure I can do the other part. But I don't have the time now to put it off. So procrastination is not in the cards today, right? We can't do that. And later then, when we have this conjunction to Uranus, expect the unexpected. But more importantly, I think, is the need to watch out for emotional reactions, right? This is a sign, a planet that sometimes blows things up and awakens us through shock, or awakens us through some kind of surprise, which can then trigger within us an emotional reaction rather than our waiting to respond to something. So we want to watch that possibility for emotional reactions later in the day, maybe rebelling against, because Uranus has that rebel quality as well, rebelling against those duties and responsibilities, casting off the things that we have to do or that we felt like we had to do. So just be aware today that, you know, the energy, while stability and security are there, there's this little piece of upset that's going on, maybe through the emotional field. And we'll talk a little more about where that's coming from, as I want to show you the human design chart for the day and where Mars is sitting at gate 36 for the next several days, triggering turbulence within us. And we'll take a little bit of a look at that. But first, let me go back to Facebook and see what people are saying. Jacqueline, yes, I felt like that earlier indeed. Allison, good morning to you. Lex, good morning. Ursula, good morning. And I can't see any further back than that. So if you checked in at some point and I missed saying good morning to you, good morning to you. It looks like we have Elisa. Oh, hey, if I do that, if I hover over comments, I can see Patricia Woods, Amanda Jeffs, good morning. Elisa, Kamal, I said hello to you. And I think I grabbed everybody else's name at that point in time. So cool. So as we begin then to look ahead at the moon's transit through Taurus, it is always good for us to learn about what it is the sign means for us. So Taurus in your astrology chart rules the second house. Even if you don't have Taurus there in the natural zodiac, the sign on the second house would be Taurus. So it has a rulership over finances and money, the economy in the bigger, wider world. And it is also a house in your chart that speaks to self-worth and the love of self, or the self-acceptance even, and how you see yourself as worthy of receiving from the outer world, because it's a house where you are connected to your possessions, to the money you make, etc., that you yourself bring in, versus the eighth house on the other side, which is more about what comes to you from other people or outside sources. So Taurus being on that sign then says that when the moon transits through Taurus, we're also talking about a financial component. We're talking about the stability of our finances. Now, I know that things seem a little bit wobbly out there in the world in terms of finances. And we knew this would happen, right? With Uranus in Taurus and for the foreseeable future. And now we have this moon going through here today. It's a possibility that we may all be sort of scrabbling to find that new normal in our finances. Maybe you've lost a job, maybe you're still on layoff or furlough. Maybe you're actually, what I've been sort of seeing out there is that people who've been laid off right now are making fairly good money through the support of unemployment. Now, that's not going to last but a few more weeks for people. So I think it's time to have an eye, an ear, your senses to creating some kind of cushion or safety net for the eventual running out of that extra funds that we're getting because of the coronavirus. And what does that mean for you? Because then you go back to your new, to a new level of unemployment that isn't very sustainable, at least financially. And I was, this was a thought I was having yesterday because my son and his girlfriend both manage Ross Dress for Less stores, and they were opening up for the first time since March yesterday. And my husband and I happened to drive by there going to get Sadie a new cat box, and one that she can get into and out of easier because she's getting old. And there were lines down the hallway of where the store is. And it was pouring rain yesterday. These poor people standing out in the rain because part of the new normal is they can only admit 120 people, I think, in that store, 127, something like that. So once they reach that capacity, they can't let more people in. And literally people were spending up, you know, upwards of $1,000 on clothes and stuff in this store. And it made me, you know, think to myself, oh my goodness, what happens if, you know, when that unemployment runs out, or if those jobs don't come back that they're expecting to come back. So these are things to consider right now. I mean, that was an example of maybe, you know, maybe they have managed their finances well and this is extra money. I don't know. But one of the things I do know is that there are unexpected things yet to come as we move through 2020. And there is this need right now, I think, to create some kind of stability, maybe padding your safe, your savings account, or putting some cash aside for what the next hit might be. And we don't know exactly what it will be, but we know there's more to come because this year is only, gosh, halfway over, right? Think of all that's happened in this first half, and we haven't even gotten to the Mars retrograde yet that will signify most of the craziness for the second half of the year. So be ready, right? That's kind of the sense and sensibility of Taurus Moon, is that we can think ahead to these kinds of things. Now, so I said senses and sensibility, but there's also the sensuality piece of being, having the moon in Taurus. And that is where all of our senses seem to be a little bit more keyed up. That is taste and smell and touch. And we really are wanting the comfort of the things that remind us of when things were good. And that might be your comfort food. It might be your comfort place to go. I was thinking about that too, with the girls asking me, where do I want to go tomorrow? I was like, well, what's comforting to me to go? There's this one little town I always love to go to, but I'm not even sure if any places opened up there, and it's about an hour drive. Do I really want to make that drive and then not be able to do anything? So we have sensibility versus that sensuality, the need to be back in the old where we feel good, to, you know, trigger those senses, the smell, the taste, the touch of the things that we remember in the good old days, if you will. Also, the sign of Taurus is about gratitude and appreciation for what is. It rules things like contentment and happiness. And can we appreciate where we are and what we have, even if it feels less than what we had 3 months ago? Can we still be in gratitude for our health and our well-being, such as it is in the moment? And can we be appreciative of the struggle that other people are going through, even if it's not really touching us personally? So there's a part of the moon in Taurus that brings us to that place of gratitude. And, you know, I was thinking this morning, why isn't forgiveness in there? You know, forgiveness may be through more of the Scorpio end of things. But I thought about Taurus and forgiveness because it is often a sign that gets caught up in stubbornness. And that's one of the things we'll need to watch out for with the moon in Taurus is stubbornness, that resistance to change that comes up with the sign of Taurus. where we stick with our dogmatic opinions, where we can't seem to move off of our, our rock. We want to stay where we are. And what we mean or what our thoughts are the right ones, never mind what someone else thinks that's different. They're wrong, we're right. So we're going to watch that in ourselves, right? Are we being stubbornly holding to some kind of belief that we need to change, that we need to morph through? Are we resistant to seeing things from the other side, right? From somebody else's viewpoint. So we'll be dealing with that as well. Taurus rules the foundations of our lives, the stability, right? That core stability, that perseverance, that being able to take step by step toward a goal or to something that you wanted to, to getting to the end result, having patience, being trustworthy and dependable. These are all Taurus qualities as well. And then, of course, setting boundaries. If there is a sign out there that can set boundaries, Taurus and Cancer are two of the ones that sometimes can really set those boundaries and can also be a little bit unyielding in moving those boundaries a bit. So stubbornness, but appropriate boundaries, let's say, right? Appropriate boundaries where I'm not just drawing this line in the sand and, triggering someone to cross it, but being able to set appropriate boundaries. And all of that comes based in self-worth and self-acceptance, right? When you know your worth, you know what line you're not going to let someone cross with you. And that becomes the appropriate boundary. The other side of the coin is knowing when that boundary has become too stringent or it's holding you back and being able to loosen the boundary a bit, move it outward some, to be able to accommodate the changing nature of reality at the moment. Okay, so pretty much I think that's about it for Taurus. Let's take a look at comments over here this morning. Ilaria, morning everyone. What happens if we just buy from local business and just wear one clothes per day? I'm focusing on buying from different farmers and craftspeople with the fear of the virus from China. Why keep on supporting fabrics that pollute more and are less safe made? Right? The you make excellent points there, Ilaria, because one of the things that we know that we have as a power, all of us as people have as a power, are our dollars. And when we spend our dollars wisely and on products or companies that resonate with our values, then we've increased our power, right, to influence. We become influencers in some way because we refuse to buy from the companies that are not supportive of the values that we have. For example, I just discovered, and this was like off the total subject the other night, I was watching some TV show. One of my favorite comedians, and he gets into some serious stuff, and he started showing us about what companies are supporting this group called ALEC, which is the American League. I can't even remember what it stands for, but it's a very ultra conservative group, and they are not very open and they're not very honest in what their dealings are. And I realized as I'm watching all these corporations that have contributed dollars to this group, that my insurance company was one of them. And I was aghast. I was like, oh my God, I got to do something here because I don't want to be putting my dollars. And I put dollars in every month to State Farm Insurance, and they support businesses and legislation that I do not support. So what doesn't make sense then for me to keep putting my dollars there? Absolutely not. Now it's going to be a pain in the you know what to change over all my insurance to a different company. But you can bet that I'm going to do that because one of the themes that's overlying everything that we've been talking about is walking our talk, right? Living according to our values. With Uranus in Taurus and now Moon in Taurus, it has us reevaluating, right? Where we're putting our money, where we're putting our time and devoting our energy to. So that is exactly what it is that we have as our power, our dollars. That and the influence you have over your state representatives, over your federal, your legislators that go to Washington, Those are the things that we have that we can do. But mostly, think about all the things that you buy on a daily basis, right? Are you being supportive of, say, your local farmers or your local, as you said, Ilaria, craftspeople or not, right? A lot of little businesses are suffering through this whole coronavirus shutdowns and the possibility now that another shutdown may be lurking. So focusing, on being consciously aware of what it is that you're spending your money on, where it is you're putting your dollars and where you're putting your time. That's all, right? No judgment in this, by the way. That's not going to help matters if we start judging people and looking at them aghast, sideways, like, oh yeah, you're spending your dollars there. We don't want to do that either. But helping to raise consciousness would be you showing the world how it is that you are taking care of business, right? So thank you, Ilaria. That was a great idea. Good morning, Sue McCarthy and Amy. Good morning, Josh and Tati. Good morning to you as well. I see that you might be out there. I don't actually see you, but all right. Now let's go on to something else. I want to, first of all, let's take a look. I got to remember how I did this. Got to go back to Zoom. And I want to share the human design chart for the day. Oh yeah, it's going to be in my downloads. There we go. Just now. Perfect. Now I'm going to share this chart because we haven't seen a human, well, I was gone for a week, right? So we haven't seen a human design chart in a week. So let me share my screen and show you what today's chart looks like. Here we go. You guys should be seeing the human design chart. And there are two main channels that are being completed by transits. So that really puts a lot of focus in the energies of those particular channels. Now, in your own human design chart, even if all four gates that are involved, and I will tell you what they are in just a moment, are open, you still now have completed channels because it's planets in transit that are completing these channels. So what I'm talking about is up here, the head and the ajna are being completed by the channel 6124. This gate 61 is where Jupiter and Pluto are sitting. So if you look down the line over here, these are all our planetary symbols. And we see that Pluto is at 61 line 4 and Jupiter is at 61 line 6. Jupiter is now, both of these planets, by the way, are in retrograde. So they're moving backward through the lines and the gates. So Jupiter just last week was in gate 60 and now retrograded backwards into gate 61, and it doesn't go linearly, so the gates kind of skip around a bit, so it's not going in numerical order, in other words. So 61 is where it is now, and today what's at gate 24 is the planet Uranus. So this is a long-term connection that we have going on here in the head connecting, excuse me, connecting the head and the ajna. Maybe I should drink some water. Now, this is the discussion that we need to have because the head and the ajna, if they're both open in your chart, if they're open, they're white, right? So you'd have these two white triangles up here. Today, they are defined because the planet Uranus is completing the gate 24 while Jupiter and Pluto are completing 61. So for the foreseeable future, and when I say that, I mean months, we have this connected. So those of you who are open-minded, who are generally speaking inspired by many different things, are suddenly kind of hit with this energy of the definition in the head. You may find yourself more in your head. You may find yourself more unconsciously going to the mind to find answers, to make decisions, to compare and contrast and bring up old ideas and things like that. So we want to be very careful of this because if it's not naturally your way, then you may suddenly forget that you might have emotional definition and make decisions based on what the mind is telling you. Now, this can also contribute to anxiousness, to anxiety, to stress and strain because this head center is an awareness, I mean, it's an awareness center, but it's a pressure center. And the pressure here is to answer questions, to want to know how, when, why, what. Can you prove it? So they're we are all being kind of pressured at the moment to answer those questions. As well, the Ajna is the center for certainty. And there's a certain amount, if you normally have those centers open, but now suddenly you're certain, that is a warning sign for you to understand yourself a little bit differently. While right now you have access to certainty, and it's helpful to have certainty, it is not changing fundamentally the you that you are, right? So you have to understand that even though you may have certainty that this is what you want and this is the way to do it, that if you have emotional authority or you're a generator, you're going to be responding with clarity over time. If you're a projector and you have splenic authority, you're going to still wait for those invitations and then run it through your own intuition, even though your head may be telling you, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. Because right here, this energy can cause us to really get up into our head. The 24 is the gate that's sort of about logic, rationality. And the 61 always asks the question, why? You know how two-year-olds, three-year-olds are always like, why? Or, you know, why? And I know this because I was with Wyatt on Sunday, and that was one of his questions, right? It's always about why. So why and rationalizing together can create a dependence on the mind that may not be your natural way of being. Now, if you are the opposite and you normally have these gates defined, nothing much has changed for you. There's just a more focus on the mind and what is happening in the mind. You're already someone who's likely filled with the normal anxiety that comes with thinking or overthinking, such as it may be. So we almost have to very consciously over these next few months, bring ourselves down into the body, right? Bring yourself down into anchor into the physical being so that you're out of your head and not making decisions simply from there, using it as its tool that it is, which is that of awareness of all the possibilities, right? So then the other channel is the 12 to the 22. Now, this is only temporary. This will only last through Saturday as the sun is what is at the gate 12. And so the gate 12 will change in the next few days. But while we're at it, we have this really wonderful connection of openness and charm and grace. This is the channel that we sometimes, it's called the channel of openness. But it's a channel of feeling good emotionally and being able to share of yourself with other people. The 12 acts as a bit of the limiter on the 22, saying, okay, but this is mood, right? This is a mood connection. And it means that moods can be sort of up and down. And not to get caught up in the thought that I might be bipolar or that I might be depressed or I might be manic or any of those other sort of psychological dysfunctions. It might be simply that suddenly you have a lot of access to emotional energy. And if you're not used to having that kind of connection, making it all the way up to the throat, you may be a little feeling a little bit more emotional, a little more raw than normal. Maybe you're crying easily. Maybe you're expressing yourself. Maybe you're easily angered. Maybe you're easily, you know, changing your moods up and down. Maybe you feel more quiet and reserved. If so, likely you're going into the womb here of the emotional center where creation begins. And during that process, sometimes it's melancholic, it's quiet, and it's more reserved energy. And then it seemingly changes then maybe the next day and you're up and you're Adam and you're, you know, feeling awesome and you're expressing yourself. And then you go into another group of people and now suddenly you're shy and you're reserved and you don't know what to say. So we may be feeling a little bit, you know, crazy. Crazy is not even it. It's just emotional. We may be feeling a little emotional, and that would be why. Now, the reason I wanted to show you this chart was to set the stage here for this gate 36, also on the emotional center. And the gate 36 is where Mars is sitting. If you look here, here's the planet Mars. It is now at the gate 36 in the line one. And that means he's just begun this transit through here. And this is the gate that we call turbulence, crisis. In human design, I think it's called the gate of crisis. Ultimately, it's a channel when it connects up here to gate 35. That's a gate, a channel of transitoriness. Transitoriness, meaning there's a lot of change that can happen through this gate and this channel here, because the gate 36 is about navigating life's emotional ups and downs, the triggers in yourself that create an emotional reaction, and the emotional triggers from other people that create an emotional reaction from you. So in this gate, then, the emotion may sometimes be boredom. It could be, I'm sick and tired of being here. So now I'm going to take some risks and I'm going to jump out and go places. I'm going to, you know, join up and have a party at my house or do things, you know, that I don't normally do. So we want to watch, because Mars is the action principle, right? He's confrontation. He's conflict. He's warrior. He's action, dynamic action. And he is sitting here at a gate that is sometimes bored and wants and restless, and also is crisis oriented. So we want to watch for, let me see, let me tell you how long of a time he's going to be sitting at 36, all the way through June 24th. So it's not as long as it could be, but that's a significant number of days for us to be dealing with that kind of, I think it feeds into the anxiety, the anxiousness that this connection here is making, right? So we have a sort of little trigger point here for emotional expression. And what does that mean? Well, it means that maybe it'll be a much harder for us to contain ourselves when we get triggered. So just keeping that in mind, remember what drives you in times of crisis. Some people, what it should be is our humanity or our compassion for one another. But rather, sometimes we get into reaction energy and we begin to react to what's happening around us instead of remembering that cool heads prevail, that we are all in this together, and that it's love that holds the key, not you know, reactions that are negative or upset or angry. But if you're feeling that way, that is why. All right, I'm going to go over here because I bet people have questions. Yes, also Jacqueline, that's very true. While Mercury goes retrograde in Cancer, a sign that's also emotional, and with a solar eclipse coming, and you know, in this new moon window, that is also highly energetic, and it can be very positive too. So don't get me wrong, I'm not slanting this to negative, always being negative, because it's not. Sometimes the action, the dynamic motion that we take is, you know, with blessings and with abundance and with love in our hearts, and we just want to reach out and embrace the world. So it can be that positive side, but on the other side, it can also be, you know, falling into the trap of that emotional reaction. Amanda Jeffs, my head is open. No more. No more, Amanda, because the planet Jupiter and the planet Pluto are sitting at the gate 61. And in no small part, those two planets sitting at that gate have been bringing us to this psychotic energy that we feel on the planet, where we have these major problems, right? Major issues. They're staring us in the face. And we persistently want to keep throwing the same old solutions at the problems instead of looking at those problems, turning them upside down, perhaps, and you know, shaking them around a bit and doing something different. So right now with our defined heads, we need to look to other parts of our body graph to help us bring in the new, right? The exciting. And to remember that if your head is normally open, you're inspired by any number of things. What you may find right now, Amanda, or anybody else like Amanda, who normally has an open head and now it's defined, is that something in particular has inspired you and that you want to take action on that inspiration. And remembering that this too shall pass. So while it might be awesome that you're excited about being an activist, and I'm making this part up, you might be excited about being an activist. When those planets move off of the gate 61, all of that's going to be gone. So if you've made major commitments based on that momentary, even though it's a longer moment this time, inspiration, that you may find yourself uncomfortably having to back out of something much later or later. So watch what you're getting involved with. Follow your type and your strategy. It will save your butt. Open, hard-headed Taurus here. I love you, Jacqueline. I love the way that you say things like that because, yeah, okay. Open-headed, open, hard-headed. So Taurus, yes, it's stubborn energy. It stays the course, but it's stable, right? You're not going off half-crazed, I would bet. And right now, if you have that head defined, you may also be in a position like Amanda, like me. I have an open head and Ajna. So right now I find that I'm on this theme. I feel like I find a theme and I'm sticking with that theme. That may be okay for now, but I have to always remember that that isn't my natural way of being. So that's the point. Know yourself so that when you find yourself doing things that are out of character or out of the usual, you're aware that that's what you're doing. And if you're aware of what you're doing, then you can choose to stay that course or change and do something different. So I hope that makes sense for everybody. What if the head is open and Ajna is defined? Do we suffer from half anxiety and how to overcome it? So if the head is open and the Ajna is defined, you are likely pressured to fall in line with other people's inspirations because your head is open, right? So the head connects to your Ajna and you take in that inspiration and you find the certainty on how it is that you're going to express that. But right now, Ilaria, you have a defined head because everybody does at this moment because Jupiter and Pluto are sitting at the gate 61 with Uranus at the gate 24. And I just had a thought about that. That's really interesting. These are very powerful planets. These are collective planets that are working on our minds and on our connection to spirit. Because really I'm going to go back to the chart for a moment. Nope, that's not how you do it, but that's how you do it. There we go. I want you to note how this is the only center, the head center, that traverses the head and into the ether or into spirit. So this is sort of like our antenna on top of our heads that attracts to us ideas and inspiration and thoughts, but it's also the entry point for spirit into the body and how we make the connection to spirit and body. So this is why likely we are really having to look to our divine spiritual side in order to solve the problems of the world, because the way that we've been doing it has created this pathway of psychosis, right, and limitation. So does that help? Hopefully. Okay, let's see. Sue, my head in Ajna is too, but boy, last week I had my first migraine that was so bad and I could not even move for 6 hours. Wow, I'm so sorry to hear that, Sue. But that is also a possibility that the pressure in the head gets so significant that you are brought down by something like a headache or a migraine. And as much as I feel like I've had migraines and I gotcha, that's terrible, they're painful, but maybe looking at what the trigger to that might be, maybe there's an opportunity here for you to change your mind in some way or to change your health in some way. So looking maybe after you feel better at, you know, what were the precursors to that? Because I believe, you don't have to believe like me, but I believe that the physical manifestation of anything in the body is the last expression of something that's been out of balance for a while, either in the spiritual, the mental, or emotional planes. And its final resting place, its final expression lies in the body. Because I don't believe that we're designed to be unhealthy. So when something does show up in our outer world, we have to look at, or in our bodies, we have to look at what, you know, might be having been the trigger in the other realms. You know, we're so used to being physical beings, we totally discount the fact that there's emotional health, there's mental health, and there's spiritual health. And have you been fulfilling those other parts of you. Because if you haven't been, likely maybe it's the impetus to something that's going on in the body. Sue, I am changing my health right now, major changes with diet and supplements. And, you know, maybe the migraine was also a signal that your changes are, you know, allowing some things to move out, right? Letting go of something. Jacqueline, my 14-year-old had a really bad one yesterday. Remember yesterday too, the moon was in Aries, the very last few degrees of Aries. Aries rules the head. There was Eris in Aries that the moon hit yesterday. There was the square to Jupiter and to Pluto yesterday. So it's not surprising that there was a lot of pressure in the air, a lot of challenge in the air yesterday, as the moon was finishing her transit through Aries. And, you know, when we look at, you know, let's look now at Taurus and what part of the body Taurus rules. Well, Taurus rules the throat, the neck, the thyroid gland. So every time the moon moves through a sign, it can trigger something in the body. So yesterday it happened to be the head and headaches and that type of thing. Today we're looking for the next couple of days, we're looking at the neck, the throat, the thyroid gland, and how we use our voices. Okay. Sue, maybe too much information was downloading for me last week. Possibility. Maybe you're in resistance to what that new download brings to you. There's all kinds of things, right? That we could, it's only if you take the time and the opportunity to contemplate, what is this showing you about you? I know for the last few days, I've had a lot of heart palpitation issues going on, like my heart just feeling like at some point it's going to jump out of my throat. Other times it's like going down into, you know, lower parts, like my gut even. And I'm like, what is going on? And it primarily happens when, after I've eaten. So I started thinking about that last night. Of course, I'm thinking about this when I go to bed, and I'm wondering, like, is it telling me that I'm eating the wrong things or too much of something or not enough of something else? So, you know, only if we dare to ask those questions of ourselves, to deeply contemplate that, can we come up with the answers, right? We don't have to go looking outside of us. I was very tempted to call the doctor today and go, okay, I need to, you know, maybe have an EKG or something. But then I went, I don't need a doctor, at least not yet. I mean, I'm not advocating against going to your doctor, but I think the first step always has to be checking in with yourself. What's going on in here with me? Because I know me best, right? The doctor doesn't know me best. She sees me one time or two times a year, maybe. So she's not qualified, in my opinion, to do anything other than what her training calls for, which might be throwing medicine at me, giving me a bunch of tests, when I'm the one that knows me best and can check in with myself and find out, okay, what's going on here? What is this showing me about what my thoughts are on? What my actions have been doing, what have I been neglecting within myself, what have I been overdoing in myself, right? So we are our own authorities. Having said that, if there is something important going on that you feel like you need to, then reach out to your doctor. But just make sure you've done, you know, your due diligence with yourself first. So again, doctors, if you need them, they're great. But the first stop should always be checking in with yourself. What is this showing me about me? Natasha says, here's a perspective. Yes, and as we have a knowing we are physical beings, we forget that includes the body, and the body speaks to us of what we are processing. Indeed, absolutely right. And then if you know your astrology chart, you can even take that one step further, because we know, for example, we just said that Taurus rules the neck, the throat, the thyroid, and the thyroid regulates hormones. It regulates especially the stress hormones like cortisols and, what's that other one? Anyway, so if we are using our voices incorrectly, the illness may show up here in our throat or in our neck. If you take that one step further and you go, okay, where is Taurus in my astrology chart? What house is it on? Now you might even get an idea of what area of your life you may be overdoing it in, or where you might be suffering from some kind of imbalance. So for example, if I looked at my neck and my throat and my thyroid and I was having some kind of issue here, I would go to Taurus in my chart first, and then I would see that Taurus is in my 10th house. Maybe I'm speaking to the wrong subject in my work, because that's the 10th house of career. Maybe I'm not really speaking to with authority. Maybe I'm using someone else's authority in what I'm speaking about. So we all have these different ways in which we can look at how it is we're using our energy by what our body is showing us. So good point. Ursula, I've also had body issues and have been trying to remember to pause and invite earth energy into my system. There's that one too. I also have been having some major dreams going on for the last week. You know, Sue, that's a great statement, because so have I, but I am lost at trying to recall what they're all about. I know there's chaos in them and it feels disruptive, discordant, but I can't put my, when I wake up, I remember that I was, it almost feels like I've been in a different lifetime, like a different dimension, because it seems so real. But it seems so real, it feels so real, yet I cannot remember the details of it. I just sort of come back with the feeling of that turmoil or that turbulence. Maybe it's my tapping into what's going on in the universe. But Amy says, makes sense. I keep pulling the death tarot card. Oh, yeah. So death, you know, as scary as that sounds, is likely about change and transformation and something that's passing away in order to make room for something new. Jacqueline, I have Taurus in 11 and as a part of the 12th, but I am a Taurus. Does that not amplify for me? Right. Anytime you have planets in a sign, those planets are also fundamentally affecting the energy that's going on in the sign. So you have your sun in Taurus. So your ego, your personality is Taurian. And if you're suffering Taurian types of complaints in the body, then maybe you are overusing your ego energy or your personality energy. Maybe you're not using it enough. Maybe you're using it in the wrong direction as it relates to your friends, or maybe in some way there's, because the 12th is also there, maybe some self-sabotaging behaviors you need to look at, or limitations that you've put upon yourself, or where you're not living as a spirit in a physical body. Maybe somehow they're separate in your mind. You have to bring them back together. It could be so many different things, right? And that's why I say there's no, like, I couldn't sit and write a book, except in that book, I would have to write anything that it could possibly be. And that could take me forever, because you are your own authority and you would know, I'm a little overbalanced here, or maybe I'm underbalanced. The 11th house, networks and friends, maybe you're spending too much time, we all have, at home with, you know, just certain people. And maybe it's time to, you know, broaden that horizon a bit. Only you know for sure, right? You know you. And I did have to take a radioactive pill, and now my thyroid is too low, right? Okay, so that's a lot to unpack right there, right? Radioactive. So you're putting, you know, I know what they're doing. You know, they're trying to bring that thyroid into some form of balance without having to take it out, maybe. But think about the I would just love for you to tap into, you know, how am I using my throat, right? And what am I saying? How am I saying what I'm saying? What should I be saying that I'm not saying? You know, where have I gotten out of my business and gotten into God's business or someone else's business? So just contemplation while you also have a doctor in support of what you're doing. I'm always home. It is a safe spot. Well, for sure, based on where you live at the moment and the experience that that part of the world or part of the country has had, definitely probably safer at home right now. But that doesn't mean that you don't reach out to other groups and communities. Look, you're here with us this morning. So I think maybe it's a call for to grow some in how you've been interacting with the outer world. Okay, now let's see time. I've got to be on time this morning. I have to learn how to be in time because I have an open spleen. Time for me is not concrete. And the radio platform that I'm going on, I have 58 minutes. So from open to end, I can only be at 58 minutes. Otherwise it gets cuts off and I don't want that to happen. So got to be good here. Today's Pleiadian Earth energy, we move to the energy of eight, which is the energy of connection, heart to heart, right here, the connection right in the middle. If you look at that infinity symbol, we are reflections of one another, right? This side of the eight is you, this side of the eight is me, and we are connected at the heart, at the connection there. If you look at the number eight upright, we're looking at the connection of spirit and matter, and they connect heart to heart right here in the middle of you as a human being on this planet. You are the embodiment of spirit and matter, right? So it's so interesting to think of the number eight like that, because the design crystal and the personality crystal in your human design come together within you to create your soul purpose and your life purpose. And so it's a beautiful way to look at it, looking at the physical representation of the number eight and what it means in the Pleiadian energy is about love and connection and abundance, right? That infinite loop of comings and goings and ins and outs and ups and downs and fullness and emptiness. And it's just this beautiful energy. And now the energy today for the earth is healing energy, healing, which was Ish in the Mayan calendar. So a representation of the jaguar or the shaman. And what we have here in healing energy is just what we've been talking about, that you are your own authority when it comes to what's going on in your body. And that should not be superseded by a doctor's telling you about you, because you know you best. When you go to your doctor, it's because you've narrowed it down as much as you can, and you know what it is that you need that the doctor can support you with. You can't be looking so far outside of you for those answers, yet the doctors are there if you're unable to get to that point. But healing energy always is about you healing yourself first. Before you can heal anybody else, you have to be able to work through your own issues so you don't bring those issues into the healing situation or the healing session. So physician, heal thyself is part of this. It is also the extraordinary magic in healing, especially if we can shape shift and we can see ourselves maybe from outside the body looking in, maybe, you know, arising to the spiritual level and looking back at the body and going, oh, that's what's out of alignment. And working with our own selves as a gateway before we move on to helping someone else. It's why healers will often do a lot of clearing for themselves between sessions with people, because they've taken on other people's energies maybe, but they also are clearing out their own so that they can be a clear channel for spirit to help them in the healing of to allow that energy to flow through them, that it's not flowing into their own ego or their own issues and then being transmitted out to the other person. So it's an interesting day, right? And calling all of ourselves to be our own healers, but also knowing that if you are in a position of healing with other people, you got to clear yourself first, and then always clearing yourself between people. So connection, abundance, and healing, the highlights of the day today. All right. Well, that is it for me this morning. Let me take one last look. April, oh my gosh, it's so good to see you. Glad to have you out with us today. Monique says, I have Taurus in the eighth house with nothing else in there. I'm new to understanding these things. So Monique, if you have an empty house, an eighth house, it doesn't mean that there isn't anything going on, because the sign on that house that's on the cusp of the house. So I'm going to assume, I should never do this, but I'm going to assume that Taurus is on the cusp of that eighth house, which means that the ruler of Taurus, which is Venus, is also ruling that eighth house for you. So it could be an indication of money that comes to you or value that comes to you through a spouse or through other people in your life, through inheritances or lucky finds, being in the right place at the right time to receive something. But it can also point to issues that happen with debt and credit, other people's money, and you having to learn how to transform the things that are coming to you from outside of you, into the second house where you can actually use them in your own life as your learning how to balance, let's say, money that comes to you from others as well as the money that you make yourself. Anyway, so never in a, is there nothing going on in a house, because you can always, even if it's an empty house of planets, you can look to the ruler of that house and find where Venus is in your chart, and you might see where some of those issues might pop up. Anyway, everybody, take care. Have a great day, and I look forward to seeing you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. right here. I'm not sure where I'll be tomorrow, because if I can work through the YouTube issues, I'd rather go back to YouTube. We will see what happens today, but I'll let you know in the morning because I do post in Facebook anyway. All right. Much love to all of you. See you tomorrow. Bye for now.